Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, I've had a song stuck in my head, you know, the ones that replay over and over and over. Doesn't matter if I've been sitting at my desk working or playing outside with George or washing the dishes. The words of this song have continued to come to me over and over, and I find myself singing them. It's a song that I recently discovered called Bigger Table by an artist named Matt Marr. These are some of the lyrics. Show me who is my neighbor, because love doesn't meet a stranger. Love calls them friend and welcomes them in into a house for the hungry, a well for the thirsty, where all saints come together, shoulder to shoulder. In all things, God is able. Love has a bigger table. Love has a bigger table. There are many stories all throughout Scripture that show us that love, capital L love, right? God is love. That love has a bigger table. And today's story from Acts 8 is one of my favorite examples of that love. Someone who was an outsider in every way is drawn into God's love and grace, and through baptism is welcomed into the family of God, where at last they finally find belonging. This story in Acts is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes Philip off to a place located somewhere off the beaten path, maybe close to the middle of nowhere. And it's there that Philip meets the person we know as the Ethiopian eunuch. On this wilderness road, Philip encounters someone who is earnestly trying to understand Scripture's prophecies about God's salvation. We Christians believe that this passage was fulfilled by Jesus. We often read it at Christmas time. But the Ethiopian eunuch didn't know that it was fulfilled by Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit sent Philip to meet him so that Philip could share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, that good news was so transformative and so life-changing for the Ethiopian eunuch that they wanted to be baptized right then and right there. The life, death, and resurrection of Christ gives this story a much different ending than it would have without it. When the Ethiopian eunuch asks, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" The truth is, without the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, everything. This person was an outsider in every way possible. They were a foreigner. Not only were they not from Israel, they were from Ethiopia, which was on the fringes of the known world at that time. It was the ends of the earth. This person was dark-skinned, even darker than all of the Middle Eastern people that we encounter in Scripture. And this passage lets us know, not once, not twice, but five times, that this person was a eunuch. Eunuchs did not fit the conventional forms of gender at that time because they were castrated. And because of that, they were not seen as male or female. They were genderless. In fact, there were laws in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that gave lower status to eunuchs. And as such, They were not allowed to worship in the temple. They were not even allowed in the outer courts of the temple. So what is to prevent this person from being baptized? Well, according to humans, everything. Their nationality, their ethnicity, their skin color, their genderlessness, their sexual condition. But the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Everything. You see, in Jesus Christ, the prophecies that the eunuch was reading about in Isaiah are fulfilled. Isaiah is a book of hope and promise for captives, for the poor, for the sick, for the outcast, and for eunuchs. Isaiah prophesied that eunuchs, those who were sexually ambiguous, would be gathered into God's house, and that they would be given a name greater, greater than sons and daughters. And so as Philip shares all of this with that Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, everything in the light of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, this person who had been socially ostracized, this person who was an outcast, this person who had been excluded not only from the assembly of God, but from the worship of God, this person who had over and over again been rejected because of their nationality, their ethnicity, their skin color, their genderlessness, their sexual condition, this person was embraced by God. This person who had been judged and shunned by society and by people because they were different, because they didn't fit the societal norms, it is this person that God called to be part of the community of God in which all are equal in the sight of God. Because in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. Every single human condition, category, distinction, boundary that humans create that makes us better than others does not exist in God's love. It doesn't. What was to prevent this Ethiopian eunuch from being baptized? Well, according to God's love revealed in Jesus Christ, according to the love revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, nothing, no thing was to prevent this person from being baptized. You see, God doesn't see all the things that humans see when we look at a person. What God sees in every single human that has ever existed and that will ever exist, God sees that they bear the image of God, and God sees the child of God in them. Brothers and sisters, this passage holds up a mirror for us as individuals, as the body of Christ here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church, and for the church universal. Who is it that we exclude? Who's missing from our assembly? Who are the ones that we don't think are worthy to be loved by God or by us? Who are the ones that we prevent from experiencing God's love because of our words, because of our opinions, because of our actions or inactions that don't reflect God's love for all people? Who are the ones that we reject because they don't look like us, or worship like us, or think like us, or live like us, or love like us? What are the barriers that we have placed at our doors so that some don't feel welcomed here? What are the boundaries that we have put around this font so that some might feel they are prevented from becoming baptized? What conditions have we put on this table so that some don't feel welcome here? These are honest and hard but faithful questions. And I believe that in the light of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we need to ask ourselves these questions. May the Holy Spirit stretch us so that we will love all people more like Jesus does. May the Holy Spirit challenge us and expand our ideas of who belongs. May the Holy Spirit nudge us to not only include, but to love those whom we don't think belong, or those whom we don't think deserve God's love, because they are different and outside the norm. Brothers and sisters, in the waters of baptism, God welcomes all into God's family. Into God's family that isn't based on human ideas of worthiness or acceptableness. A family where all belong. A family where all are equal. No matter what they look like. No matter where they are from. No matter their age. No matter their gender, no matter their sexuality, no matter their ability, all belong in God's love. All belong at God's table. All belong in God's family, no matter what. And there's that song running through my head again. Show me who is my neighbor. Because love doesn't meet a stranger. Love calls them friend and welcomes them in, into a house for the hungry, a well for the thirsty, where all saints come together, shoulder to shoulder. In all things, God is able. Love has a bigger table. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Alleluia. Amen.